Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Gimel Be'iyar, Tavshin Ein Hey, Parasha Sachere Mosta Kedoshim. The evening of the third day, Tuesday, 21 April 2015, webcasting from Israel on Memorial Day that used to refer just to soldiers who fell in battle, but now remembers the thousands of ordinary Jews murdered by the sons of Ishmael in terrorist atrocities. Last week I began the webcast without the music of J.S. Bach, that I love so much, in honor of the 6 million Jews murdered last century, and now again we begin with silence, to honor the Israeli soldiers and defenseless civilian Jews bushwhacked to death in surprise attacks by these barbaric Arabs. You saw this week more beheadings of, 30 Ethiopian Christians in Libya, and then there were the 12 Christians thrown overboard into the Mediterranean. Our enemies are satanic monsters of cruelty, but unlike their Christian victims, whom everyone sees as truly innocents murdered for the religious faith, when the Ishmaelites slaughter us, they have good reason. For sure, no one in civilization today would bless the murderers of those four Jews doing some last-minute shopping for the Holy Sabbath in that Parisian deli, Ipil Kasher. But, Muslims, like their killers, Muslims have been victimized by the Jews with their Zionism, you know. Wasn't this the official attitude of the government of France that tried to separate one massacre from the other? To highlight the difference between the Charlie Hebdo atrocity and the similar bloodbath in the Ypres Cachet, Bibi would not stand for that, though, God bless him. Our enemies are barbarians, generally speaking. Is every Arab a terrorist murderer? Of course not. Which does not cancel the truth that, in general, they are a nation of terrorists. There are a few active ones, percentage-wise, but then a majority of the people support them. By their tolerance of the few monsters among them, they participate in their evil. That is the meaning of the constant honoring by the PLO, the PA, every month or so now. Some PLO murderer is given a name to a school or a playground in the PA. It is this constant waving in our faces in Israel of their culture that makes heroes of mass murderers of defenseless people. The official figure for the fallen in Israel's Zionist period is some 23,000 plus soldiers, but also on record are the more than 4,000 civilians slaughtered in Arab terrorist attacks over the period, not to mention the thousands of others who survived but were wounded and crippled and sometimes for life, because our neighbors are, as a rule in general, sub-civilized savages. But don't tell that to their supporters around the world. Take, for example, the news item today of Jimmy Carter returning to Israel and to Gaza, who will not be received by President Rivlin. The foreign ministry advised the president not to do that, and he is complying. The foreign ministry knows Carter for the anti-Semite that he is, which is apparent from his statements about our situation and our enemies. In true anti-Semitic style, he tells one lie and distortion of truth after another. Even his former Jew boy for many years, Dr. Kenneth W. Stein, Ph.D., had to abandon him when he published his second book on Israel, with apartheid in the title. Apartheid, of course, has become the substitute code word for greedy Jews, cliquish and clannish Jews, racist Jews, who in their racism persecute the real, authentic ancient landlords of Palestine, a land these savages cannot even pronounce correctly. It's a geography so alien to them. There's nothing about Palestine in the Quran, written in the 7th century. There never was after that, for more than 1,000 years of Muslim rule, an independent country called Palestine, ruled by Palestinians. The Jews, after 18 centuries of exile, commanded by God, returned and brought the wasteland their homeland had become under Muslim rule back to life. And the sons of Ishmael, who wielded a lethal weapon in his day, a bow and arrow, for killing food and other men, the sons came up with a fairy tale called the Palestinian narrative, the Palestinian version of history, in which their ancient and beloved homeland from time immemorial was stolen from them by the racist Jews who created an apartheid state. In this mental universe, Jewish nationalism is inherently exclusivist and racist for denying the Palestinians what the Jews have, an independent state in their ancient homeland. They call theirs Israel. At the same time, they oppress and deny to the Palestinians the very same right to have their own state in their ancient homeland, too. This is what rattles around in the brains of such men as Jimmy Carter. As Barack Hussein Obama is a PR spokesman for the enemies of America in Iran, so Carter flacks for Hamas, whose charter calls Jews apes and pigs. Last year, Carter opined that Israel's refusal to negotiate with Hamas was wrong. Quote, Hamas cannot be wished away, nor will it cooperate in its own demise. Only recognizing the legitimacy as a political actor, one that represents a substantial portion of the Palestinian people, can the West begin to provide the right incentives for Hamas to lay down its weapons, close quote. Jimmy Carter is an evil man. What he's doing here is evil. Today's outstanding Jew killers are no longer German Nazis goose-stepping and bullying and murdering their way around Europe. Today's most prominent Jew killers are Muslims in general, and the Muslim Brotherhood in particular, which is what Hamas is. This is the equivalent of Jimmy Carter, had he been born a generation earlier, flacking for the Nazis and their evil deeds against us Jews. You know my three-word definition for anti-Semitism, lying about Jews. And it was blatant lies in Carter's book that Stein knew were lies, so he walked. Likewise, the liberal Jews in the Atlanta community who were on the board of Carter's Center for Peace, or whatever he calls it, they could not stomach the lies in that book and resigned. And here he is again with his cracked version of reality. Carter calls on Israel to recognize Hamas as a legitimate political actor. And for my money, this is a violation of life as old as the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, man ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Think of English philosopher John Locke's notion of the mind as a tabula rasa, a blank writing tablet, on which man, so to speak, downloads information, and in this case, the first download that comes with knowledge is the knowledge of the difference between good and evil. So when Jimmy Carter calls these monstrous outlaws, these criminals who do not respect the law and civilized societies legitimate, from the Latin word lex for law, he mixes what is legitimate with what is criminal, illegitimate, illegal. As the PLO honors as heroes mass murderers, so Carter makes legal criminals in Hamas, whose ethical system allows them to fire at random rockets into Jewish apartment houses and shopping centers, schools, shuls, and children's playgrounds. These are the people Jimmy Carter is flacking for. For Carter, those tens of thousands of projectiles shot at us like this do not disqualify Hamas from being a, quote, legitimate political actor. His words. Jimmy Carter is evil. He's doing evil here, as all anti-Jews do evil, by harboring and telling lies about Jews that license other people to murder us. This is whom Jimmy Carter is flacking for, Hamas, these homicidal Muslim maniacs who produced Al-Qaeda and 9/11. Hamas's principal claim to fame, likewise, was its suicide bombers. Same thing. It's as if Jimmy Carter is playing defense lawyer for Al-Qaeda. For the 9/11 Sky Devils.
Shir la ma'alot Esa einai el harim Me'ayin yavo ezri Ezri me'im ha'ashem Oseh shamayim va'aretz Al yiten lamot raglecha אל ינום שומרך הנה לא ינום ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומרך השם צילך על יד ימינך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלות אשא עיניי אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי? עזרי מעם השם עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומרך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם.
Today in Israel, we remember the soldiers who died to preserve our freedom to live as well as we do. No, Israel's not utopia, but it is a hell of a lot better than the way our neighbors live, and I do mean a hell of a lot better. That is, we live with the absence of the hell that the Arabs create for themselves. Syrian cities have been reduced to rubble, homes and businesses alike. Iraq is battling ISIS, which is kidnapping and enslaving and raping and murdering with abandon. Iran is backing the Houthis in Yemen. In Egypt, every man in uniform is a target of Brotherhood assassins. Assassins, not coincidentally, an Arabic-derived word used in the West in different languages, if not in identical ways. In French, it's assassin, and in Spanish, it's asesino, and in assassino, used for common murderers. In a way, in English, it's not. In English, an assassin has political or religious motives and plans his murder well in advance. Assassination is a word, then, that means giving someone, or getting, the Arab treatment, the ambush of a defenseless and unsuspecting person. Today, we remember the dead, the soldiers, and the thousands of Jews here murdered here, not in Europe, by goyim here, that are as crazed about Jews as any in European history, Christian or post-Christian, pagan or socialist. And now another story in the news has surfaced concerning delusional Jew hatred on college campuses. Today, it was not the UC Irvine, but UC Riverside, where students have been offered a course to be taught, not by a faculty member, but a fellow undergraduate, to be called Palestine and Israel : Settler Colonialism and Apartheid. And there you have it, as remarked before. Apartheid is a word used by Carter in today's version of Jew haters to camouflage their view of Jews as greedy exclusivists, racists who shut others out and claim to have a unique relationship to God, to be better than anyone else. Settler colonialism is the partner word to apartheid here in this course title. A colony being the identical word Jimmy Carter has used to describe our bedroom communities, built after 1967. There are several reasons to grieve over people like these, and not the least is their pathetic grasp on history. A study of the colonies created by European peoples in the Age of Discovery will uncover not any resemblance whatsoever to these bedroom communities built on barren land that displaced no allegedly archaic Balestinian family. Colonies were started around the globe for gold, glory, and the gospel. And in just about every case, the colony was established for its natural wealth that could be extracted to enrich the home country. Our so-called settlements have no natural resources under them that Israel has extracted and sold to any home country. Many of them, although now on the high ground that had been in Jordanian hands before 1967, remain within sight of the coast. That is how close to the seashore they are. Yes, for example, the French had far-flung colonies in Polynesia, quite a distance from Paris. Jimmy Carter's Zionist colonies, though, are commonly less than an hour's drive from downtown Tel Aviv, Beersheba, or Jerusalem. Some colonies. Jimmy Carter and his ilk and those lunatics at UC Riverside have in their heads, one guesses, images of us settlers drinking mint juleps as we're carried around in sedan chairs on the shoulders of the native Palestinian porters. So if UC Riverside allows this lunatic anti-Semitic farce of a course to proceed, which sees colonialism and apartheid in Israel, it will collaborate, not in the value of free speech, but age-old Jew hatred, that is, lying about Jews. And what is interesting about this story is that the Jewish groups, some 20 I read, now are jointly protesting this to Janet Napolitano, now president of the entire UC system. They're protesting with the word anti-Semitism to describe this alleged course on Middle Eastern politics. It is anti-Semitism because it's so one-sided and chock-full of lies. Even in the course title, there is no colonialism. There is absolutely nothing in Israel's relationship to the 2,000 square miles captured from the enemy in 1967 that resembles the age of colonialism in the least. There are no apartheid laws in Israel, as there were in South Africa. That is why this is classical age-old Jew hatred. Unfortunately, still called anti-Semitism, and that word I would like to see retired. It was a lie the moment it was invented in the 19th century, when Europe's intellectuals had lost their faith in Christianity, no longer able, intellectually capable of hating Jews for killing God, as the common man used to say. They had to come up with another explanation that became what we call anti-Semitism. No longer would a right-thinking, enlightened post-Christian European hate Jews for killing Jesus. Now it was because they were Semites, Asiatics, and so culturally and even biologically, racially different, they could not and should be allowed to live as equals in Europe. As Asiatics, they suffered from an inherently lower form of civilization, of culture. They were less honest, like gypsies. They were chronic cheaters in business, and so on and so forth. Tonight and tomorrow, we mourn our dead, faced as we have been throughout history, by goyim whose brains teem with lies about Jews. Thank you. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. On the home front, J-Post's Khaled Abu Toameh reported on how a delegation of 10 PA ministers and 30 other PA employees went to Gaza this week. He called them PA officials. When I hate to use that word to describe these Fatah terrorists, which is what the PA is. And when they found themselves there, they basically came under house arrest in their hotel. They had come to deal with the fact that their loyalists in Gaza, although unemployed, have not received their paychecks. The PA in Ramallah has continued to pay them since 2007 when Hamas took over, but lately there has been a problem. Anyway, once in Gaza, Hamas would not let the 40 meet with their loyalists at all. They wouldn't let them leave the hotel. And I mention this small news item because it sheds some light on the truth of Israel's handling of the PA. Bibi, as you saw, has restored most of the funds he had blocked as punishment for the PA joining the International Criminal Court. And he did so as part of the normal rule, really, of Israel's administration over these people. We have to do these things from time to time. Abbas, remember, was indignant at Israel's blocking of the usual flow of money, and he threatened to break off all security cooperation when that was a bluff. In fact, Abu Toameh reported last week that security cooperation has never stopped, for it commonly concerns the common effort by both Israel and the PA to right herd on their common foe, Hamas. The PA cutting off security cooperation with Israel is potentially suicidal. The threat was hot air from the beginning. And the item also reveals another reason why the two-state solution is simply not of this world. Look at what the Arabs in Syria have been doing to one another these last 4 years. Consider the Sunni-Shia violence in Iraq, Shiite Houthis in Yemen killing their Sunni rivals. And you can bet that the day after Israel abandons Judea and Samaria, God forbid, the Arabs would start their own local gang wars, which is basically what these clashes are all over the Middle East. Think of the American Civil War and what was at stake. The institution of slavery as a political and economic system. Think of the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s between the Loyalists and the Republicans. Politics, again, was the cause, politics and policies. But in Arabi, it's religion and power, and not even between different religions, but sects of the same religion. Imagine, God forbid, in Israel, Hasidim and Misnagdim begin killing each other in the streets. Imagine that in the States, the Presbyterians and the Baptists, the Methodists and the Evangelicals, God forbid, were using machine guns and artillery on one another. The two-state solution is a fantasy with no leasehold in the reality of the Middle East. The peace process has been a sham from day one in 1993. At the time, it sold the world the fantasy that Arafat, Nabas, and friends had come around to recognizing the right of the Jewish people to live free in their own ancient country. That was nonsense. It was more than nonsense. It was a complete fabrication of reality. There was not one sliver of evidence in 1993 that the Arabs had come around to accepting the rightness of the Jews to their own state. There had not been one opinion in any Arab newspaper saying that it was time for Arabia to stop its war against the Zionist entity. There had not been one public affairs program on any Arab TV station in which recognition of Israel was discussed and supported by prominent people. Oslo was believing, on the part of Balin Peres and the Israeli left, that Arafat and Abbas were genuinely committed to peace with Israel. Oslo was rooted in the belief that these mass-murdering anti-Semites were not above lying, belief that they were sincere, that although they had been terrorist murderers for decades, they finally had done tshuva, repented, and seen the error of their ways, and now could be trusted in their professions of peaceful intent. Oslo was evidence of the Jews as the chosen people, the special people, for Oslo was a special kind of stupidity about people, even a supernatural stupidity that only a special, chosen people could be capable of.
Do כשיבואו לפנות את ביתי, ימצאו אותי כאן על הים, מנגן על החול הנצחי. לידי ילד קטן, מכין לו משהו לשתות, ואומרים שהמפנים מתקרבים לשער הראשי. במאהל הזמני, אמהות צעירות מכינות את ארוחת הבוקר ביד אחת, כל ידן השנייה את ילדן מחזיקות, והן היו לא מזמן בעצמן ילדות קטנות משחקות. ומי שלימד אותם לקשור מטפחות, הוא שלימד אותם להיות אמהות, ואותי מלמד שוב ושוב כאן על הים שאין עוד מלבדו. כשיבואו לארוז את ביתי, ימצאו אותי כאן על הים, מנגן לשקיעה הנצחית. הם יורידו תמונות, גם מזוזות, יכניסו ספרים, אלבומים, ימלאו ארגזים מקרטון באלפי זיכרונות. ופתאום הכל נעשה לי קליל, כל הדברים שהיו לי יקרים, מן שלווה בליבי כאילו לא שלי, כל מה שנבנה ויורד לטמיון אחרי שנים. ומי שלימד אותי לחפש מנגינות, הוא שמלמד אותי בכל מיני צורות, אם אפשר לבוא ככה סתם, להרוס את ביתי, אז אין עוד מלבדו. כשיבואו להרוס את ביתי, אמשיך לשבת לי כאן על הים, והוויה כולה תלחש לי סודה שאין עוד מלבדו.
Now finally, let's end this otherwise somber evening with a touch of good news. The upcoming publication of a book exposing Hillary, the undeniable criminal that she is. Remember, she was fired in Watergate days by a boss shocked at her indifference to the law in her pursuit of their mutual goal, which was nailing Richard Nixon. When her Whitewater scandal broke 20 years later, I had no knowledge of that earlier episode, and no knowledge of deviousness on this woman's part, and did not know what to think. But since then, and that was 20 years ago, with the email business and the lies about Benghazi, this woman does not belong in politics. She does not have the right stuff to be president. Her hubby, King Billy the Kinky, was nicknamed, while still governor of Arkansas, by the Arkansas Gazette editor Paul Greenberg as Slick Willie. And now it appears these two were birds of a feather. She may even be more corrupt than he is. Okay, no webcast Thursday. Israeli Independence Day. I'll be back on Willing on Sunday. Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.